Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Just gone 7:21 Central African time, and at that time of the morning, where we join our very own Adam Kamda on your segment of Fishing with Adam. Adam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. How are you doing this fine, beautiful Sunday morning, Adam?
Landbound today, northeasterly winds are forecast. The sea is quite bumpy already. There's not a single surfer or paddleboard on the water this morning, Shafad. So the surfers also know that, you know, that, these conditions are very choppy. And as we speak, there's two aeroplanes low flying along the Golden Mile, Shafad, giving you and the listeners a salute. So lovely greetings from the air this morning. And as we speak, there's two ships entering the harbor. As you know, there's been lots of port congestion. I just went on the app last night and looked at the marine traffic. The last count was 40 ships anchored out at sea, and last night it looked like it was down to 20, Shafaat. So they're definitely putting a lot of effort and making good headway with all the goods that are floating outside the harbor waiting to come in for our festive season, Shafaat.
Well said, Adam. Many of our businessmen have ordered containers and containers of clothing and toys and so forth. And one of the stories that I heard was that Toyota, you know, the Toyota that's right near us in Springo Beach, they had a preferential treatment because they ordered four or five or six containers of machines to do some speedy production upgrade. And you know what? They got delivery just like that. So a few of the people that noticed that wanted to query it and have asked the Itikweni municipality to answer why was that ship given preferential treatment. I mean, Adam, you and I will know that TSA or Toyota South Africa is bread and butter for the Durban South Basin, Adam.
Yes, Shafad, our motor manufacturing plants are very valuable to South Africa, and you know, we can't risk that. They run a very complex operation where they have lots of parts coming from various different suppliers, and they all reach the production line just in time to be used. And if there's any delays, for example, parts or machinery on containers out at sea, and it's stuck out there due to the port congestion, the danger is, Shafad, that these manufacturing plants will relocate themselves to area where there's stable electricity and stable logistics. So I think authorities had to step in to try and prioritize those kind of shipments and let them through. But I'm pleased to say that it seems like they're getting things under control. As I mentioned, when I counted the number of ships out at sea last night, it seemed like it halved from a few weeks ago. And the reason why anglers are so interested in ships anchored out at sea, Shafad, is it's summer now, it's Dorado season, and we often hunt the Dorados along the ships. And we actually look for the ships that are anchored out there the longest because they act as a fish attracting device. They have a whole ecosystem of little fish coming and living under the ship, chewing off the barnacles and the algae that's growing on the hull. And then the bigger game fish come and feed on these fish, Shafad. So that's what we look for.
Ah, what a beautiful information coming from our professor, Adam Kamda. So you know the ship is there for 2 weeks. Hey, that I can know that ship has been there for 4 months. So you know the barnacles are there, those tiny fish are chowing lekker, and then you want to catch Dorado, get on your rowing boats and row out. Row, man, row. Get muscles on your arms there. Put muscles on those. Hey, Adam, I can check you got a lot of muscles. Did you get all the through fishing and your six pack is still there? You are a master, man. You are. Is fishing keeping you going? I know you don't need gym and all that because once you're on your boat, hey, man, you got muscles all over.
Yes, Shafad, I love to cycle in the morning to keep fit. Obviously, fishing does give you lots of exercise, but you don't get the sustained increased heart rate that you would get from an activity like running or cycling, Shafad. So I do cycle as much as I can. But having said that, the last few weeks has taken a backseat to cycling. The conditions have been pretty good, and we've been going out to sea more often. But it is quite an active sport, Shafad. And even when you're out at sea in rough weather, sometimes you're spending 6 or 8 hours there, and you don't realize the passive exercise that you're doing, just, you know, staying upright or just keeping your balance on the boat. Or when you're fighting a strong fish and, you know, subconsciously you're keeping your balance against pretty hectic swell. You know, when you come back to land, you wonder why you're feeling so tired and exhausted. It's because of all that passive exercise that you have, Shabbat.
Now, Adam, you know, but I mean, as a lighty, I enjoyed my bicycles. I had the chopper, I had the rally, and even had motorbikes and so forth. But that bicycle was, you can't, and you just couldn't beat it up the hill, down the hill, and enjoy it. At that time, we didn't have taxis tailing us. But today, taxis deliberately knock cyclists. And that's the only fear I have of getting a bicycle and cycling around the town. Maybe I should get that other one. And you know what they say, the one you can keep indoors and cycle as fast as you want. Adam, what's your thoughts?
Yes, Shafaz, a stationary bicycle or a treadmill is a great alternative if you don't have the time to run outdoors and cycle, you know, on cycling paths, etc. So there's no excuse when you get home, throw off your formal shoes, put on a pair of tackies and get your exercise done. But having said that, nothing beats the fresh air. And I can understand what you're talking about, you know, road rage and people not having patience for cyclists, you know, cycling along the public roads. So a great alternative, Shafaz, is our Durban Promenade. You know, you can start from Ushaka area and cycle all the way to Blue Lagoon. I do believe that they've extended it through Riverside, the Riverside area, and the intention is for you to go all the way up to Amshlanga or Belito. But my favorite route is Ushaka to Blue Lagoon. It's amazingly scenic, and you experience the prevailing winds, either southwesterly or northeasterly. So for half of the route, you'll have the wind at your back, making it easy for you. And the other half of the route, when you're returning, would be the, you know, probably the wind that you're on your face and making it a little bit more challenging. But every morning is different, Shabbat. You enjoy different sunrises. The mood of the ocean is different every day. And the people that you meet all on the promenade is different every day as well, Shabbat.
Yeah, I noticed a lot of our people go to the promenade, but yeah, and you know, you notice people coming from MSMTOTI, from Umbugunthwini, and all that. I'm talking about the most of the whites, so they come in with their cycles at the, you know, 4 a.m. They're cycling. Hey, they're very brave. In Afrikaans, how to say hello, buy a dapper, and they like they're united, they not fear anyone can come. They're there to take on. Perhaps is it the color that gets them through the, you know, through the turbulent streets, Adam?
Look, Shafaz, we have to be realistic. Each time, you know, you do get muggings on the beachfront, etc. But having said that, being on a bicycle and whizzing past at speed of knots, I don't think any mugger would want to chase after a bicycle and try and catch him because it's too much energy to waste. They look for soft target, Shafaz. So I think you're pretty safe on a bicycle, especially if you're coming down in a group and enjoying it as a group of friends. I often go down, I cycle on my own, but I cycle solo, so I've never felt that in any way. So it's a great sport, you get great exercise out of it, great vibe, amazing for your health, and even visually, mentally, it does a lot. And it's pretty safe as well, Shabbat, in terms of you know, the speed that you are willing to pass, you need to get to that, Shabbat.
Well, Allah is with you too, Adam. You're a good man, and Allah protect you now and forever. Well, we're getting into that season. They call it the silly season, and many people will be on holiday. So I'm presuming that, you know, your shop will be very busy. People will be coming to you, and perhaps your business hours will be even longer because of Saturday and Sundays, maybe, you know, because it's holidays, and you'll get more and more people coming. Talk to us about, you know, how the tackles go, how the rods go during a holiday period, especially when it comes to December. Do you notice that you get even more busier than before, Adam?
Yes, Shafaz, our season starts from the 1st of November. So for the entire month of November, we ran specials. We went through our stock ranges and so what was slow moving, marked them down, really get the excitement going. And come 1st of December, the start of the shed season. Shed season is open. So that really makes a huge difference because it doesn't only affect people that are targeting shared. Shafaz, let me explain. In summer, a lot of the anglers bring out their big guns, you call them, the long rods, 14-foot, 15-foot horizon rods, the Mariana rods, with their big reels and strong line. And they actually target inedibles, which is sharks and snakes. And up to 30th of November, if you catch a shared as bycatch, you cannot even use it as a bait, Shabbat. So now come 1st of December, even if you're not targeting a shared for the pot, you can catch the shared and use them as bait. So you'd catch a live shad, you'd pin it out and cast it out to attract some really big flatfish. And then even the guys going out deep sea on the boat, Shepard, you know, if you are catching live baits like mast bunkers and sugar mackerel, occasionally you'll pick up a few shad. And up to 30 of November, it's closed season. We had to release all those shad. We're not even allowed to use them as bait. But now from the 1st of December, on the boats as well, we can pin them out and target beautiful fish like garrick on the back line. It's especially prevalent at Blue Lagoon at the moment. And I've seen lots of boats coming back with beautiful species of yellowtails. Yellowtails love a live shad, Shabbat. So now it's open season, 1st of December. Shad season is open. So even anglers running down to the south coast, catching their quota of 4 shad within a few minutes, can take it home, or take it to the chalets, and cook it up for breakfast or lunch. But as I said, not only for the table, Shabbat, we are all excited to be able to catch our shad. Using as live bait as well.
Okay, the message here. Rasul says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda. I don't know if you noticed how our Indian fishermen, whilst they're fishing, when they're catching shad, some of them with the gas stove are cooking it live at the beach. Are they allowed to do so? And I was offered a shad curry the other day, but I was frightened to chow it because perhaps we would have got fined. Adam, how you respond to that?
Yes, Shafar, I think, you know, you have to stick to the designated spots. There are a lot of beaches along our coastline that do have dry areas. So you could quite happily and legally throw in some charcoal, light it up, and have a lovely fire going. As soon as you catch a fish, masala it and either throw it on the grill, or as you said, you know, I'd place a pot on that dry stand and cook up a lovely curry, Shafar. So I love that kind of thing where, you know, you straight from the ocean, heat it up and straight into the pot and enjoy the fruits of the ocean. You can't get fresher than that. Most seafood, Shafar, should be frozen just once. That means when you catch it, you keep it on ice, you take it home, clean it up, you freeze it, and then when you thaw it out, you cook it the same time. A seafood doesn't keep well if you have a whole batch of it, you defrost it, use half, and then refreeze the other half. But better than once frozen Shabbat is fresh from the ocean where it hasn't been frozen at all. That really has a fantastic, unique taste. And I'd like to challenge a lot of the listeners, Shabbat. I'm sure there are people out there that say, I don't like fish, I don't eat fish. It smells and tastes too fishy. Try eating fresh fish, Shabbat. You know, with most species, there's no fish smell and there's no funny taste. And you really surprise yourself. So make friends with a boat angler who's coming back with some lovely fresh Natal snook and just try and butter him up to part with one of those snook for you to try, Shabbat. There's absolutely nothing better than fresh, fresh, fresh fish.
Yes, Adam Singh. Fresh, fresher, freshest. Come buy fresh fish. I know there's one van comes around saying, come buy fresh cakes. No, not fish cakes. You get it fresh. And Adam says it's our best. Fresh, fresh. I say everything is fresh. Well, Adam, I'm looking at a message from Khalil. He says, my nephew and I simply love your shows. We share notes end of the show. Adam, please, could you give us some top tips for essentials with all the different facets of angling? They are definitely essentials that we need to know about. Could you please discuss with Bru Schaff this morning? Adam?
Yes, Shafad, my biggest tip is actually social media, and especially YouTube. YouTube has a wealth of information put together by amateurs who are passionate about fishing. I can rattle off a few names. Look for Willem Rieder. His channel is called WR Fishing. Look for Veer Hiraman or Lionel Crow. They both run fantastic videos on fishing Durban. And look out for Scott Gordon as well. He's turning out to be a really fantastic ambassador for the Kuma brand. And here you find these anglers, they love all facets. They love bass fishing. They love shore angling. They love drop shot fishing. They love deep sea fishing. And I've been privileged to fish with these esteemed anglers, Shabbat. And you'd see me in some of the videos as well, where we target monsters of the deep. You'd see a video of Willem Rieder fighting a huge skate out at sea. We got Willem onto his first dorado out at sea. Then there was another video where he caught a dorado on a lure that was on the winglet lure, the Fish King winglet lure. There's lots of videos of Willem, of Lionel and Skull fishing bass. They've recently done really well in bass competitions as well. So the biggest tip, Shafad, is just Google, you know, what you're interested in. Check it up on YouTube. Subscribe to these channels. So whenever they post new videos, you know, you get a notification and you'd be able to keep up to date with all the latest catches. As you know, the experienced anglers know what to target at during which parts of the year. And if you just piggyback on that knowledge of fish for the season, fish for the species, I think that will take you a long way instead of just going down to the ocean, casting a line out there and hoping for the best.
Yeah, Adam, and then, you know, I'm looking at a message here that says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda. Other day, Kalu and I were having an argument, and Kalu said, besides the fishing rod, the pliers is the most important tool to have when you're fishing. How true is that? Besides the fishing rod, the pliers is your second important tool, Adam?
Absolutely true, Shafad. You know, there's no, we can't place enough value on having a good pair of pliers. Especially the sensation pliers that I use. It's got a split ring point, so you can change the split rings on your lures. It's got a flat edge, so you can actually grip the line when you tighten your knots. It's got a cutting point where you can snip off the ends of the after you tie your knots. So it's really invaluable. I think every angler should have one in his pocket, so you're not reaching around and looking for where's the pliers. Although when we fish on my boat, we're pretty organized. We have all the tools, and after everyone uses it, they put it back into its place. So you can just reach, and you know it will be there. But having said that, you know, every little thing plays its part. I'll give you an example. We often carry dishcloths, fondly call them luckies. And there was one trip we went out, and we couldn't even find a single clean lappy or any lappy on the boat. They were all taken away for cleaning. And that little thing, Shafad, you know, you miss it so much when it's not there. I actually had to put my expensive BKK glove and use that as a cloth to hold the fish and to unhook the fish, Shafad. So every little accessory plays a very, very important part in fishing.
Yeah, you got a chore there. When you go fishing, it's not only about going with the rod and that. You have to have your dishcloth there. You have to have your pliers and I don't know what and what some of you put snorkels and dive in. Looking at a message here from Shokat, he says, Assalamu alaikum. I would not miss the show for anything. It's one of the best fishing shows. Jazakallah for that. It's the professori that gives us information, Shokat. And Shokat says, Adam, the sand shark have been the one of the main targets along the bigger flatfish like the honeycomb or back-breaking thorn tail. Tell the people what these fish are. You are the one that knows how to describe it. Me, I like listening to you. Adam, how would you entertain Shoka this morning?
Yes, Shafad, he's absolutely right. The sandfish or guitar fish or sand shark is very common and targeted this part of the year, Shafad. They give a really strong fight. And to describe them, they're actually like a mix between a skate and a shark. You know, it swims and looks like a shark, but the sides of the head actually spreads out slightly, almost mimicking the flatness of a skate, Shafad. And they don't really have sharp teeth like a Zambezi shark. So they're very sought after by beginner anglers looking for that exceptional fight and a little bit easier to handle on the beach when they land them. But just a word of advice there as well, Shafad. If you're fishing for inedibles, and you bring your fish to the shore, use the correct tackle so that you don't prolong the fight too long and tire the fish out to the point of it almost collapsing or dying. Bring the fish as quickly as possible to the shore. Take a photo or two close to the water. Don't drag it all the way up the beach. Take a picture close to the shore and return it or try and revive it before releasing it. Revive it in the shallows and let it swim off to live a full life. So that's a responsible way to target inedibles, Shafad.
Sabir says, Assalamu alaikum, Adam Kamda, Brother Shafaf, and please convey salams to Mufti A.K. Hussein. We'll do that. He says, my grandfather used to tell me, never go fishing on a hot day when there's a hot wind. You'll get very sick. How true is that? Adam, is that an old wives' tale?
Yes, Shafad, that's probably referring to dehydration and sunstroke, Shafad. these days we've got so much of equipment, so much of gear and apparel with fancy hats and long sleeve quick dry fishing shirts, the best sunblock you can get. Even these shirts even extend so it has a little thumb hole so that it actually covers the back of your hand as well. You just have your fingers sticking out. It looks like you're wearing gloves, but it gives you total freedom of movement. And although it's long sleeve and you're standing out in the hot sun, people think, oh my God, this guy must be baking. But you'd be surprised at how cool that you feel. This shirt it gives you total UV protection. But having said that, make sure that you drink lots of water. You don't realize how much you perspire out of the hot day, especially if there's a bit of a breeze blowing your part. That really dries you out. So, you know, always be aware of your health. Keep yourself covered. Drink enough water. And if you start to feel uncomfortable or you start getting a headache or dizziness or something, then pack it up and come back another day when the conditions are more favorable.
JazakAllah for that. Umar says, forgive me for my ignorance, Adam. Do you get seawater prawns and freshwater prawns, which is tastier? Please, maaf again for my ignorance. How do you respond to Umar?
Yes, Shafad, I think there were some projects of prawn farming up in the Tugela area, breeding the prawns in pods in the Tugela River. Those would be freshwater prawns. And then there's also, there used to be quite a strong fishery of prawns in the Tugela area. That Tugela area is now a marine protected area, and that prawn fishery has stopped. And I must say that we are seeing such huge benefits in that MPA where fish stocks are rebounding, those prawn stocks are in the ocean are rebounding, and that feeds the entire ecosystem with lots of big cod, big cod, and lots of big cod moving. And even though that area is protected, Shafad, it's a breeding ground for those fish, and they migrate. I believe that large shoals of those cod have moved into our local waters. And we've been having an exceptional run on snapper salmon along our backline as well as in the harbour for, I'd say, at least 8 months already. So those fisheries, those protected areas are definitely helping. And prawns, you know, everyone's got their own story, Shafa. The only ones I don't really trust are the ones imported from obscure countries where they are farmed and you don't really know what the conditions were like, and you don't know how much of medications and antibiotics are pumped into these things to keep them, you know, to grow to a full size shepherd. So try and source local. I like the saltwater prawns, and but there's nothing wrong with freshwater prawns as long as it's farmed in ethical ways and safe for human consumption, shepherd.
Tell you, Adam, really brilliant, questions coming through this morning. And only, a brilliant man like you could have answered all that. And Allah bless you for that. Your recipe. Hey, Gigi Foy Zain Bara saying, Adam, recipe. What you got for us, Adam?
Yes, Shafad, it's Dorado season and I'm really gunning for my first Dorado. So I thought we'll do a Dorado dish today and try and keep it as simple as possible. So we'll do a grilled Dorado fish, and the ingredients for this, you'd start with 1 kilo of filleted Dorado portions, 1 tablespoon of olive oil, 1 tablespoon of melted butter, and some salt and pepper to taste. For the sauce, we'd need 6 tablespoons of butter, 1 small onion finely chopped, 1 heaped teaspoon of garlic minced, 1/4 cup of vegetable stock, and 2 tablespoons of lemon juice. So to make this, Shafad, you preheat a grill to medium heat. Place the Dorado portions in a bowl and season with salt and pepper. Drizzle the fish portions with olive oil and 1 tablespoon of melted butter. Place the fish on a tray lined with foil and grill them on medium heat for about 12 minutes. To make the sauce, while the fish is cooking, melt 1 tablespoon of the butter in a small saucepan. Add the finely chopped onion to the butter and saute for about 2 minutes or until softened. Add the minced garlic and sauté for another minute. Add the chicken stock, or the vegetable stock, and simmer until reduced by half. Add the lemon juice and cook for 2 minutes more. Remove the pan from the heat. Add the remaining butter 1 tablespoon at a time until the sauce thickens and becomes glossy. Add salt and pepper to taste if desired. Pour the butter sauce over the fish once ready to serve. And an important tip, Shafat, is do not overcook the fish. Dorado of easily overcooked. So cook it around 12 minutes and you can test it with a fork. It should be nice and flaky, but still moist inside.
Yeah, when you said 12 minutes and I picked up there, hey, you can't overcook this thing. Then you're going to, you know, you're going to have a mushy fish. But jazakallah khair. And can I'm asking your permission here. Can I have the Dorados with Doritos, Adam?
It rhymes, Shafat, so sure, it's absolutely allowed. Thanks for a lovely show, Shafat. Salams to you and the listeners.
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.